Welcome to another episode of the Wealth Lab podcast with Phil and Scott. Scott, how are you, mate?
G'day, mate. I'm well. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Very well.
Bit of a random one today, but I think I think this sort of ties in really neatly.
Yeah, no, I think I agree. It's looks probably some of the stuff that clients wouldn't usually know too much about. So, well, let's get into it. We're going to talk about Australian financial services licenses today. What are they? Why? And why are we talking about it? Why it's relevant for us to be chatting about it right now? So, I'll kick off by giving a bit of an oversight, I think, of what an Australian financial services license is and the why. So, look, essentially, AFSL is the term you'll hear. It's the industry jargon that gets tossed around. It stands for Australian Financial Services License. Now, these are issued by ASIC, another acronym, which is the Australian Securities and Investment Commission. Basically, the idea behind an Australian Financial Services License is to be able to provide, financial advice, sell financial products, anything sort of, that involves providing financial stuff of some sort to consumers, requires you to be operating under an Australian Financial Services License. And the reason behind it, it's all about, a lot of it's about consumer protection. They don't just hand these things out in your box of cornflakes, do they, Scott? Suffering through a bit of paperwork at the moment, maybe?
No, they don't. It's quite timely because we have recently changed licenses. So if you're an existing client, you will have noticed that we've sent you an email. We've moved from one license to another. And I think financial planning is one of the few industries where it's like this. Most other professional services, say, for example, doctors, say, for example, lawyers, they're directly licensed with the government. So it's just, if I'm a professional lawyer, I'll pass the bar, which is done by managed by the government. And that's it, you're a lawyer. And that's how it works. With financial planning, for some random reason, there's actually a third party company that sits in the middle, which then licenses you as a private company to provide financial planning service. It's something that the profession has been talking about for a long time about getting rid of. And then just if you're a licensed financial planner, you just do it directly to the government without having this intermediary, because it usually just raises the cost of advice, raises complexity as well, because licenses are different and in slightly different ways. So one financial planning license and the subsequent financial planners underneath them will be licensed to recommend or advise on different items. And from a consumer understanding perspective, it's way too difficult to understand that. So, for example, some licenses don't have securities on them. So securities means ASX listed shares. So some financial planners will not be able to recommend ASX listed shares, whilst others can. Some choose to just outsource that to a stockbroker. But that's just for example on something that we're looking at the moment around the differences on the licensing side of things. So why is this relevant? Well, actually, there's some nuance to it. It's about getting the right one. We have changed recently because this new one, I am very proud of it. It's got the ability to a managed investment scheme, which is a investment opportunity that we can build ourselves and package it up for our clients to really tailor it exactly to them. We couldn't do that on the prior license. This new license, I'm also the sole director. The prior license, I wasn't. So that's a big benefit, and this one will have Phil and Scott as responsible managers. So this is something that we're both really excited about because we are the absolute the deciders on what we think is the best thing for our clients, not only from a legal perspective but also from a licensing perspective. So we have that total control over what we think is best for our clients. So that's why we've made the change. It's been very painful. It's still ongoing. There is a website that you can Google and just have a look at what a license does, what's in it. It can be weird and confusing. But if you go to the Money Smart website and look at Scott and Phil, you'll see we've changed. And if you're talking to another advisor, you can also look at the history of the AFSL that they're associated with.
Yeah.
I think it's sorry, important. That was me running along.
No, I mean, that was great, mate. I think, the important thing to point, a lot of people probably sit at home thinking, why do I care? What does it mean for me? Aside from all the great benefits that Scott just spoke about allowed us as a business to move forward. But from a consumer perspective, Scott just mentioned there's a lot of paperwork going on. we just about have to tell ASIC what we're having for breakfast every day. So they, you know, these things, as I said, they don't just get handed out. We've got to prove our experience. We've got to prove we know what we're doing. We've got to jump through a whole bunch of hoops. And what that means for you as an end consumer is when you are receiving financial advice from a licensed professional that is operating under Australian Financial Services License, you're receiving advice from somebody that has been vetted by the government. Their qualifications, their skills, their history, everything has been vetted by the government to say, okay, yeah, you are actually competent to do this job. You're not just dealing with some Yahoo off the street. So, and there's plenty out there. We touch on it all the time with the what looks like financial advice, but isn't.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. We also have to get, it's a bit of an exclusive club as well, because to get onto the license, we have to have other people who are somewhat professional within the industry, ideally other financial planners who have other people who have been on an RM, to vet us to say, yes, these guys can be on a license for us to get into it. So look, it's a bit of regulatory capture, I think. But anyway, it is what it is. We've got a license and we can now provide, we've had one before, we've got this new one, which we're really pleased with. So that's sort of the strategic reasons around and why we're doing it. We're going to be coming out with some options for our wholesale clients in the future. Ideally, if you do really well, if you work with us and you're not a wholesale client yet, one day in the future, we hope to get you to that position. And we did an email out on that one, and you can Google it. The too long didn't read version of that is that there is some investment opportunities that carry a high degree of risk and a potential high degree of reward that we can package up into something that I think would work really well for people who are after some certain income or certain growth. For example, there is a license specifically to, is it timeshare guys?
Yeah, timeshare advisors, yep.
So so you're a timeshare only advisor. So you do this, you click timeshare advisor, and that's it. That's all you can recommend a timeshare.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it?
I didn't even know advisors were allowed to recommend them, to be honest. I didn't even know the insurance would cover it.
I don't either.
Isn't that a wild concept, having an advisor do a needs analysis, fact find, a risk profile, opportunities that are available, going through the research providers, the independent reasonable, I don't know, the research that we pay for to then provide the research reports, and then... Mate, have I got a timeshare for you?
Yeah, it's actually crazy. I found that very interesting to stumble upon. I'm happy to admit I didn't even know it was a thing, and I'm probably quite happy to continue living my life not knowing any more about it. But
I just assume time, you know, like I get a lot of like, you know, stuff on Twitter, people complain about, you know, Florida timeshares. So I didn't even know, maybe it's a Gold Coast thing, is it?
Yeah, it has.
Up your way.
It could be, mate. It could be. Yeah.
Going forwards, Phil and myself will be the responsible managers on the license. At the moment, it's just myself. So we'll have Phil as a second set of eyes.
Bringing the big brains in, mate.
We also have identified, and we're going to bring, we'll bring him on. We've got Paul Saliba, who is our research and investment consultant. We've engaged with him late last year to work with us on our individual investments. So if you are looking at superannuation investments, or if you're looking at your cash you want to invest with us, we have built some model portfolios that we are very, very pleased with, and have really good consistency around how that works for our clients. So that's something that it's going to work really well for us in terms of with the licensing, that we can actually pick our own investment consultant, which we're really pleased with, and he will then sit on our investment committee. We'll get him on for our future podcasts. All right, guys, please reach out. If you've got any questions, let us know. We know it was a bit of a weird email to be like, hey, we're changing licenses, but nothing's happening. And it's like, it's an odd one to say, but look, it's just a regulation that we live in. We have to email everyone. We hope you guys have a great day, and reach out for any future questions or podcast ideas. We are always happy to listen, and we will see you next time.